Thank you, Prem. Thank you, Ganesh. And dear listeners, Saram from Prashantinilam, the most happening place on the planet. And the month of November is on, the most exciting month for every Sai devotee. And what a glorious manner it has begun. The global Akhanda Bhajan just concluded, and what a movement it was. This Akhanda Bhajan is actually 48 hours non-stop Namasmarana, because by the time Bhajans in California start, it's nearly 12 or 13 hours before than it starts in Prashantinilam. And even after the bhajans have concluded in Puttaparthi, the bhajans go on in the faraway Fiji Islands. They offer aarti probably 6-7 hours after the bhajan concludes at Prashantinilam. So it is truly not a 24 but nearly a 48 hour bhajan. And those of you who have been following the action in our social networking sites must have enjoyed the scores of pictures and messages on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Google Plus. The engagement in these sites went up really by leaps and bounds during the Akhanda Bhajan, and we are so thrilled about it, because, well, this is the thing that should capture our current generation, isn't it? Not the color of the tie a movie star wore for an event, or how much unaccounted money another public figure has amassed. What should be trending on social networking sites and topping the charts is not just the newest, slimmest mobile phone on the market, or how the European Space Agency has been able to land a probe on a speeding comet, or the unfortunate incident of how an irresponsible doctor was the cause of death of dozens of women in rural India and how he should be brought to book, or how an actress has finally decided to move to a new house, or the new talent who has hit a double century and brought a smile on the face of every cricket fan in this cricket-crazy nation. Well, these things will continue to attract attention. Agreed. They will trend. But what should also be trending is how some have got together and started an initiative which is helping hundreds and thousands of homeless and sick in so many ways. How a group of dedicated people who believe in the power of their souls have sacrificed so much of their time, energy and resources to sensitize thousands of kids of today that nature is our mother and she can only be revered, adored and judiciously and optimally used, not exploited. How a team of talented young professionals have set up a firm where their commitment to honesty and quality and integrity is so doggedly steadfast that even in the face of greatest temptations and most challenging circumstances, they chose to walk the path less traveled, and how today they have become trendsetters, trailblazers in showing the world a new way, a bold way of doing business with uncompromising adherence to principles. Doing business in the manner of business was originally conceived as a true service. These are the things that should also be trending in our Facebook, in our Twitter, in our Instagram. And that is the reason why, encouraged by the tremendous response we received to the Akhanda Bhajan, wherein hundreds of people from all corners of the globe hashtagged GAB 2014, GAP 2014 in various media, and our Facebook reach really went up by 200%, dear listeners. And we now want to continue this momentum. So if you have seen our website, you would have already probably know about it. We are inviting people from all over the world to upload pictures of seva done anywhere. The best expression of pure love is selfless service and sacrifice. And we are asking to share these pictures with the hashtag Sai Love in Action. Let's create a movement of selfless service in this month when we are about to celebrate the 89th birthday of the one who, during his physical sojourn, did not know what it is to think of himself, did not know what is his comfort, his convenience, his happiness, his rest, his enjoyment. Who lived most of his life in a room which has simple flooring with no AC and which could accommodate a cot and a table and nothing more. Who emphatically proclaimed that I am selfless top to toe and demonstrated that in every second of his life. Let's pay our tribute to him. Let's offer our obeisance to him by becoming a little less selfish than before, by sacrificing a little more than before, by reaching out to a few more, than we did earlier. And let us not stop with just doing this. Let us share this too. Because the world needs to be infected with this positive virus. And these little acts of service, these little lamps need to become a conflagration. The day before the birthday every year is the day of the annual convocation of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. And this year, on November 22nd, the university will have its 33rd convocation. And the chief guest for the occasion is Dr. Krishnaswamy Kasturi Rangan, the former director of ISRO, Indian Space Research Organization. The university completes 33 years this November. And for some reason, today my mind longed to go back to the year when Bhagwan unfurled this hallowed institution. And I wanted to read how it was on the day, on this day, 3 decades ago, on the day of the convocation. And so I started turning the pages of old Sanatan Sarathi so that I could read accounts of what happened on this day, November 22nd, 1981. And when I picked up the Sanatan Sarathi issue of December 1981, I was not disappointed. Professor Kasturi, the editor of Sanatan Sarathi, then nicely narrates the events of the day. Let me read out a few portions from that account. He starts like this. On 22nd November 1981, the sun peeped over the hills that overshadow the Chitravati River and saw a vast assembly of men and women on the tiptoe of expectation, waiting to welcome another dawn. The dawn of the Sai era of re-education of man for the establishment of peace on earth and goodwill among peoples through the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning at Prashantinilayam. 25,000 devoted hearts beat in unison when the dearly beloved Bhagwan moved into the Purnachandra Auditorium at the head of a procession of distinguished educationists and dons of learning. The notification published earlier in the Gazette of the Government of India had announced that the Institute of Higher Learning that was to be inaugurated that morning was deemed to be a university. Bhagwan wore a resplendent white silk robe as he, as Chancellor of the University, came with the Honorable Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of India, Mr. Y.V. Chandrachud, who was to inaugurate the university. Air Chief Marshal O.P. Mehra, Governor of Maharashtra and Chancellor of the 10 universities in that state, who was to officiate as the President of the inaugural function. So Mr. Mehra was the President of the inaugural function. And you had Srimati Madhuri Shah, Chairman of the University Grants Commission, who had come as the Chief Guest. Sri Anjaya, Chief Minister, Government of Andhra Pradesh, opened the new Sathya Sai College at the campus on his arrival from Hyderabad. And of course, there was Dr. V.K. Gokul, the Vice-Chancellor of the Sri Sathya Sai University, the first Vice-Chancellor. And you had Mr. K. Chakravarti, IAS, the Registrar of the University. Everyone wearing the immaculate white velvet robe of the university. The Vice-Chancellor and the Registrar wore academic golden tasseled caps. The procession included also the trustees of the Institute of Higher Learning Trust, the Rajmata of Navanagar, Justice Bhagavati of the Supreme Court of India, Dr. S. Bhagwantam and Sri Indulal Shah. And Professor Kasturi goes on, when Bhagwan gave darshan on the charmingly decorated dais with 5 high-placed and dedicated votaries of higher education on each side, the entire gathering felt that Bhagwan's announced mission of divinizing mankind through education was entering on its most vital phase. It indeed was entering a vital phase. That was, in fact, a giant leap in Bhagwan's education mission. And what was most significant is the divine discourse Swami gave on that occasion. Swami said, in this Kali age, students have to rise up as lion cubs to re-establish peace and restore dharma in individual, social and national life. Swami said, students, you are going to be the leaders, the power wielders and the elders of tomorrow. Do not forget this destiny of yours. Bhagwan went on. the skills needed for resuscitating and reforming man are found only in students. A man's worth can be measured by his efforts to reform himself. And I repeat this. A man's worth can be measured by his efforts to reform himself. And Swami said, this day the government has no authority to reform the subjects, and the subjects have no authority to reform the government. Swami said, students are the very foundation of the nation. To make the foundation strong, the people, the government, the parents, the teachers and the students. All these five elements, five vital forces have to work together. And then came a very important point. Bhagwan said, in ancient times, moral excellence was the goal of this endeavor of education. And Swami said, today too, students must roam in the realm of education, free and fearless like lions in the forest, by gaining that moral excellence. Today there are no lions in the jungles of educational institutions, but only wolves and sheep. Whenever there are students, Swami said, wherever there are students, the place must shine with the brilliance of peace and security. It must radiate the aura of sanctity. Real education must be judged by the concern for others which it promotes. Real education must be judged by the concern for others which it promotes. And then Bhagwan mentioned, what should be the focus of all education? And Swami said, many are egoistic because of the degrees and the knowledge they have acquired. But what avail is all this if they do not have the humility to fold their palms to adore God? Their knowledge relates to the five elements, the energies, the composition of the objective world, the manipulation of nature's forces for living more comfortably. How does the earth rotate and why? How far is the sun from the earth and the stars? How far do the rays of the sun reach? To what distance can they travel in a minute? And so on. We answer all these questions through our knowledge. But Swami said, by learning these facts, to what extent does man profit or benefit, or mankind benefit? And then Bhagwan went on to explain, the more important items to study and watch. What are the most important items to study and watch? Swami said, if you are educated, what you should study and watch are, how broad is your heart? How much benefit has society derived from you? What are the sadhanas that can make you a better and more useful man? How much are you aware of your inner principle? What exactly is the purpose and goal of this human existence? These are the questions that education must seek to answer. Education must broaden the heart. It must expand one's love. Fortitude and equanimity belong to the reality in man. One must reveal this fact in every act. And Bhagwan said, also gratitude for kindness shown, that is a very important virtue. People forget those who help them to advance in life. Sometimes they even repay kindness with injury. And then Bhagwan referred to his university and said, students, you are all aware that there are now 108 universities in India. This university is the 109th. One more than the traditional total. Loka, Samasta, Sukhino, Bhavantu. May all the universities succeed and serve the country well. But this university must be distinct from the rest and attain a high status. It must be ideal for others. And who can make it ideal? Swami said, students and teachers are the most valuable assets which can render the university an ideal one. Along with subjects related to worldly knowledge, Swami said, this university will impart instruction in ethical, moral and spiritual codes and sadhanas. It has as its goal the cultivation of the student's mind on these lines. And what are these? Virtues, purity of the mind, adherence to truth, dedication to the supreme, discipline, devotion, duty. Swami said, these qualities will be fostered and promoted in this university. Such seeds of learning were established in ancient times by the sages and seers of India, and as a result of their self-sacrificing efforts, they have left for posterity the priceless heritage of Bharatiya culture. If today we have Bharatiya culture, Swami said, it is because the ancient sages and seers of India, through their sacrifice, have given us this legacy. And Swami made it clear what is at the heart of Indian culture. Swami said, this culture has sprouted from the vision of God in every atom in creation. God resides, it proclaims, not only in the idol installed in the temple, but in every atom and cell without exception. That is at the heart of Indian culture. And then, towards the end of Bhagwan's discourse, came these prophetic words. Swami said, students, teachers, devotees gathered here, administrators, this is the inaugural day of our institute. It has been planted today. The students are the roots. The tree will grow with branches on all sides. Countless flowers will bloom and it will provide and promote peace and security to the world. Those were the prophetic words. The roots, students are the roots, and this tree will grow with branches on all sides and countless flowers will bloom. And then Swami asserted, it is my conviction that the students are my all. If you ask me what is my property, many expect the answer to be, oh, these buildings or this vast area of land. But my answer is, my entire property consists of my students. I have offered myself to them. This is what Bhagwan said. I have offered myself to them. So Swami says, students are the roots, and this tree will grow and countless flowers will bloom. And today, dear listeners, are we not seeing this blossoming, this blooming? This has happened in so many ways, and it continues to happen in million other ways. The story of every student is a case study by itself. And today, we will get a tiny glimpse of how this is happening. In fact, tonight we are going to continue our discussion with three former students of Bhagwan's University and a young doctor from Bhagwan's General Hospital who were fortunate to package and present Swami's message to youngsters in 6 colleges in the Uttar Kannada district in Karnataka in September 2014. We have had 3 sessions with them before, and we continue this because there is so much more that they can share about their experience of interacting with these youngsters, which will be of immense use to all of us. So that is what we'll be doing tonight in this last session of Thursday Live, coming to you straight from the studios of Radio Sai in Prashantina.
Tune into Sai. Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
So welcome to Outside Inside, Deep Inside, and I'm Tim Rizai. Be sure the time in the studios now is 8:48, and today we have Inspired Hearts, Empower Future, the 4th episode of this conversation with brothers Harishankar, K.M. Ganesh and Dr. Prashant. And for those who have been following this discussion, you would know that we are talking about their experience of being in this district of Uttar Kannada and visiting many cities and many colleges and schools. So I welcome all of you brothers to Outside, Inside, Deep Inside.
Thank you, Vishu.
Thank you, Ganesh and Harishankar and Dr. Prashant. Please, if you can give all our listeners an overview of that trip, just to get all of us on the same page, because if some have missed the previous sessions, maybe very briefly you can tell what the workshops were and the kind of interactions that you had, and then we'll move on to where we left off in the episode 3.
Yeah, to recap what the workshops were about. So this took place in the mid-September, September 15th, 16th, 17th, and we had gone to the North Karnataka district, and in about 6 education institutions there, we had presented this workshop which we titled Inspired Hearts and Empowered Future. So as we said, there were modules. The first module that covered the Swami's principles of unity of thought, word and deed, and honoring one's parents. That was followed by a module on transformation, what transformation is really about, and it was titled as a journey from the mind to the heart. And then we had K.M. Ganesh, who spoke on topics that were very relevant to the audience that we were addressing. So these were college-going students, and basically they were given techniques in goal setting, in time management, etc. So these were some very practical lessons that were taught to them. So that was what was covered in the workshops. And in the last 3 episodes and in this episode, what we are talking about is some of the questions that were raised by the students.
Yes.
Which, while pertinent to their lives and, you know, their careers, etc., these are questions that are relevant to them. But at the same time, these belong to any section of humanity. At any time, we seek answers to such questions.
Exactly. In fact, that was very evident looking at the response that we received from so many listeners.
Yeah.
They were so happy. Even though we say that these are questions by youngsters, but I think these are some things, issues that all of us deal with.
Across various
age
sections
groups.
of humanity, various age groups. And just to recap, what topics did we deal with in the last 3 sessions? In the first session, we looked at self-confidence. What is self-confidence? And Swami's perspective. See, the most important thing is that Swami spent a lot of time with students over the past several years, three sessions in the mandir, and then we had the various discourses, personal experiences. So all of this is a vast treasury of knowledge from which we can gather various insights into how is it that we can lead our lives in a far better, with more equanimity, more peace, more love, right? So self-confidence is certainly something that was addressed in these.
Yeah, I think that was our first session where we took up the questions that you received.
Yeah.
In the school,
yeah.
Right?
Many questions were received, as I said, but these are the broad topics that they covered. So
I think
in various hues and colors, these were the questions that
came. So we dealt with this aspect of self-confidence, and then we also, I think, in the previous sessions, dealt with the
concentration was another
how
topic.
How not get distracted.
Yes. Yeah. And the other side of the coin called, how do we deal with distraction?
Yes.
And one of the most important topics that did come up was anger.
Mm-hmm.
See, these many of them are teenagers, and they're dealing with this particular issue, right? And
anger is a very chronic problem.
I think
it is.
Not
across
only
all age groups.
Across all age groups.
Absolutely.
And I remember the question in particular, Ganesh. So the student asked, he said, I get very angry with my parents and sometimes my teachers, my friends, and I'm getting distracted in my studies. Please help me. So that was a question, and my heart really went out to the student. More because actually this was a problem that I myself used to face in my youth, and actually to date still face it.
Mm-hmm.
This how do I manage this anger?
Mm-hmm.
This is a question that I used to ask myself, and I remember my very first interview with Swami.
Mm-hmm.
My mother and I are seated in front of Bhagwan, and Swami he turns to my mother and says, "This boy, he gets very angry." And he shook his body the way, I used to have such uncontrollable fits of rage. My body used to literally shake. And Swami demonstrated that to my mother. I think that was the happiest day of her life, to know that.
You have felt, this is really God.
not only that, to know that God was by your side the whole time. And that he is also pained by my son's behavior, somebody to share the burden. So this is something, the moment Swami said something like that, but later he patted, "No, good boy, good boy." That is his His way of saying like
hot and cold.
There is not hot and cold, but also, you know, there is hope still for you.
And this incident is really very beautiful, because for those people who have anger issues, they are, when they lose a temper, that's when they are least expecting that they're going to lose a temper. Once they lose a temper, when they shout and all that, they feel very miserable about it. So, with this incident, what I can say, the insight that is coming in is, see, first thing is we have to acknowledge and accept what the deficiency, what the problem is. It's not something to feel bad about. It's something we have to work upon.
Yes.
Like when you go to a hospital, okay, first thing that is done is diagnosis. Okay, then only the medicine is given. So most of us are aware of this problem that we have this anger issue. Everybody has.
Yeah,
but the intensity, they're not able to
control.
The intensity varies. Some people are short-tempered. Some people keep it within themselves and one fine day they bust it out on somebody else.
Yes.
Okay, so examples can be multiplied like that. Mm. The first thing is that the fact that Swami so beautifully demonstrated and then patted and said, no worry, we can work on it. We all have to understand that any problem, whatever it is there inside, whether it is anger, it can be worked upon. We can work on it. It's not the moment we start feeling bad about it, feel guilty about it. We are blocking the great potential that we as human beings have. Only the human beings have this capacity to improve ourselves.
Right.
So first thing is accept it. First step is accept it. Now what do we do about it?
Actually accept it and say that this is not okay. I mean, there's one way of looking at it is it's okay, you know.
No. I'm not saying we should not justify. We're not justifying it. First thing is to acknowledge it. It does exist. Problem is when the ego comes, they say, no, I don't have a temper issue. I don't have anger. No. Then he's the last person who will even take step towards improvement. The first step for any improvement is to accept it. And then start working on it.
But that's the important point he brought about. You know, when does a person say that, no, I don't have anger issues or something, is when he's on the defensive. And what Swami did was to actually, you know, it's the compassion of a divine master.
Yeah.
You know, that he does not judge you. And he, you know, in the language of psychology, they say he gives you the space to work it out yourself. He doesn't deal with, you know, the anger that I have. He is looking at the good person, that the goodness in me. He's giving that, highlighting that rather than the anger. It gives me the space to kind of work it out.
And you know that, you know, he knows everything, still he loves you so much.
Absolutely.
That's why that love is selfless love.
Yes. And, you know, that, actually it is at that point that you think, how can I please this person?
Yes.
There's something that I should do. You know, that let me look at this issue. He brought it up. Let me see what I can do about it. Right. So, there are several times that Swami has spoken about anger, and one of the ways he describes, he says, anger is the leader of the band of thieves, which are the seven deadly sins, like you got anger, jealousy, lust, etc. And he says that anger is a leader among those thieves. So if you allow anger to break into your house, your heart, then the rest of the thieves will follow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember reading this in a discourse, a very, very powerful example that he has given.
And so, if you defeat anger, all other will lose confidence also. So that's the good news. They say when the leader of the gang is defeated, others automatically run away.
Automatically lose spirit,
I think, as far as anger is concerned, I have two things to tell.
Mm-hmm.
First is to, how to, the thing is you have got already, you are angry. So how to control further getting angry?
Yeah.
How to control that already got angry?
Mm.
First thing. The second, how to control that whole situation? Not to get anger.
Mm.
See,
how not to
get angry at all.
Okay. See, and once you're angry,
how to manage? Otherwise you're getting more and more angry and the thing will become more worse and worse.
Mm.
The first thing, you're already angry. Then Swami says, of course, just change the topic or just go out of the place or you lie down. There are so many small things like that. Very beautifully practical hints he has given. Drink a cup of hot water or just to think of something which is pious thing or anything of Swami, something like that. So that just come out of the present that condition so that you can come out of that anger which you are going to get further.
Yeah, but I think Bhagwan used to mention how you can just look at yourself in the mirror.
Mirror.
I think that is one fantastic.
You know, Bishop, one very interesting point over here. You'll not believe it, but many of these stores and malls, shopping malls, They use this as a strategy.
Uh-huh.
So if where you have the sales representative, right behind him there'll be a huge mirror.
Okay.
So customers, they're able to see their face in the mirror, and that is, you know, that is the way they manage it. Like they,
so because
of this, customers
be nice.
Are very wary of actually losing their temper, yes, in front of the sales representative, because they can see themselves.
Correct.
Even in waiting rooms and elevators sometimes, they keep huge mirror because
self-awareness.
Unusual but strange habit of all human beings is they like looking at themselves.
Yeah.
So they can look at themselves for hours together. And one of the reason why anger comes really is they lose patience.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no patience. The factor of patience is absent when you're looking at yourself. You keep admiring from different angles. This is psychological tricks.
The second thing, not to get anger. This is where we have to concentrate more. Mm-hmm. We have seen many people, they are nature-wise, they are very cool-tempered, but they'll be boiling at such situations inside. They may not exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
By nature itself, they don't exhibit. They'll be cool outside.
Mm-hmm.
Inside, they'll be biting their teeth. Mm-hmm. They'll be very angry.
Mm-hmm.
Many times I used to wonder, like those angry sages, if they had the vision of burning somebody, definitely the person would have been burnt.
Mm.
They may not exhibit. So this is again very bad for that particular individual.
Yes.
Not only he'll be spreading negative qualities. We say bhajans, Vedas, they produce positive vibrations. Naturally, these kind of things also, even though you don't hit physically, naturally these anger, everything will spread the negative qualities. So to control this type of situation, not to get anger itself, we have to learn. Here, I think it is, we have to tune our thought processes. They say, mano moolam idam jagat. The whole creation is nothing but animation of the mind. So our mind is nothing but bundle of thoughts. So we have to control our thoughts. We have to modify it. That is where we can keep anger itself away from our day-to-day life.
Just one small little point, you know, to clarify over here. I think the right word we must use over here is how to manage anger.
Hmm.
For two reasons. Because anger is sometimes a very useful tool.
Hmm.
And we have seen
that is
Swami...
Righteous anger.
Righteous anger.
Indignation, they call it.
Yeah, and where you can correct a person.
Yes.
You know, where you want, you do not want a person to stray. And like the very, one of the quickest methods is to have a display of anger.
Hmm.
Right? And we used to see Swami himself at various times.
Yes, several occasions.
Several occasions. He would use this as a very, you know, a masterful tool.
He will switch into the Rudra mode.
Yeah. And at the same time, see, what is the person left with? He's not left with feeling humiliated. You know, when Swami gets upset with you, it is you feel bad that you have displeased him.
Yes.
You are very clear that this is a person who has so much love and compassion for you.
Yes.
That he will not get upset without reason. There is absolutely a reason, and there is some reason for introspection.
Yes. And that is the magic of Bhagwan. If Bhagwan gets angry with you, the only thing you do is you do self-introspection.
Yes. So what you're looking at is, like, at various times, it is indeed, you know, a very useful tool. So it's not that we do not show anger or we completely lose anger. Like, can we manage it? You know, that such that instead of anger controlling us, can we control the display of anger?
I think all these, which we call, quote-unquote, vices, be it kama, krodha, everything.
Yeah.
But I think at one level, if you think all of them, even kama,
right,
desire for something noble, you know, even anger. I think everything, they have their useful purposes for
channeled,
us in life. So, I think what Bhagwan is telling us is everything in their proper use, just like technology. I mean, if you use it well, it's such a fantastic tool.
Within the boundary.
Like you have to put a regulator.
You cannot really annihilate it.
Right.
It's very difficult to live without desire. You know?
It's a ceiling on desire, Swami.
Yeah. Absolutely. He never told annihilation of desire. It's a ceiling on desire.
Because that's a very important point, because at no point should a person feel, like any, or a listener feel that you will reach a stage where you're never troubled by this vice called anger. It will come up.
Yeah.
And, you know, just to go, reason why, you know, this is not an empty statement. Anger is something, a very atavistic display of emotion that comes from actually deep within the brain.
Yes.
It's part of, you know, the evolutionary legacy. Like, as they say, you know, there's several layers of the brain, and this comes from the reptile brain. There's the organ called the amygdala, which is very deep within the brain. right? And this is where irrational emotions arise from, the fight and flight response that was so essential for a being's survival. Yeah. So this is the legacy that still lives on, and many times it is very important. It's an important part of the brain that allows us to survive many situations. The fight and flight response comes from here. It does not even need to check with your, as they say, the conscious brain.
Yes.
Just happens like that.
Yes.
And on the other hand, you have what is called the neocortex, where most of your rational thoughts are happening. So they say uncontrolled rage, uncontrolled display of anger. They give a peculiar name. It's called the amygdala hijack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you're totally hijacked by that, and there is very little control that you have over it, really, right? And as I said, the neocortex is where rational thought happens. So as Swami says, drink some water, take a few deep breaths, even take a walk.
Yeah.
That gives the chance to the neocortex to kind of step in and calm down. You know, the flurry of signals that are coming out from the amygdala. So that is the science behind, you know, these suggestions that come on how to manage this situation of anger.
In fact, it's my personal experience that, you know, if you all the time just remind yourself that, okay, come what may. Okay, suppose, you know, you're living in your home and you say that, okay, next 5 days, whatever it is, irrespective of what my mother says or irrespective of what my father says, I will not get angry. If you just say to yourself and you see how you can manage the same situation without getting angry. What I have experienced is many times when you get angry, you know, a problem which could have been solved by, say, in 2 minutes, when you get angry, the whole problem actually spirals and it almost takes more than 10 minutes or 15 minutes and the whole problem actually becomes much more complex.
Yes.
For example, it could be like, you know, you just finished your breakfast and you want to go to office for work or you want to go to school and your mother says, why don't you just do this for me? Okay. And the immediate reaction is, I mean, come on, how can you ask me to do this? I've got so many things to do and it's early in the morning and you ask me to do this, etc., etc., etc. And so then an argument starts, you know, and then every time you do this to me, this is not the first time. And the mother says, no, come on, I mean, I just asked you for a small, what do you mean small thing? You know, it goes on like that.
Right.
It goes on like that. And if you see at the end of it, you would have argued with your mom for 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. And that work would have needed you only
yes, so
1 minute.
That's it.
Yeah.
Not more than that. The work would have, even if, for example, if you do the dishes, if you pay attention, you know, it'll get done in like, say, 5 minutes, okay, maximum.
Yes.
But that day, you would have argued with your mom for 5 to 10 minutes, and the end of it, the work doesn't get done. She feels so bad, and you feel so horrible having started your day in such a terrible manner.
All this is, one reason is, we all have pampered our ego. You know, many people, basically, Krishna says in Gita, see, the main reason for the desire is ignorance, that we are spiritually ignorant about our spiritual nature. That's why we are ignorant. And because of the ignorance, we desire that we need something to make us happy. Okay. Now, the desire, if it is met, we become greedy, we want more and more. If it is not met, we become angry. Okay. So, now what, in the example that you've given, in the case where you want to do something, now mother is coming and telling you something, then you feel, mother, how can you say that? Here, one more thing Swami says is, we should learn to cultivate what we call as Vishala Drishti. That is, there's a word in cricket which is very common, benefit of doubt. Okay, benefit of doubt. We should always give a benefit of doubt to others that probably they do not know the entire situation.
Yes.
Rather, you should have the patience to wait and understand and see what is the situation of the other person? Why the person is behaving like that?
Yes.
There is some reason why the person is behaving the way they are behaving.
Yes.
For example, there's one story which is coming in my mind. Once a father was walking along with the two kids in the bus stop. This happened somewhere in New York. So both the kids were fighting, they were crying, they were shouting, but the father seemed to be very oblivious of what is happening. So he went and stood near the bus stop and they were waiting for the bus. And the other passengers who were waiting for the bus started getting irritated because father was nothing, he was doing nothing to stop the children from crying, you know. He was not trying to pacify them. Rather, he was in some other world. So after some time of 5 or 10 minutes, one person who has this temper issue, and he was trying to stop his anger, and he was feeling, why this father is behaving like that? These children are shouting and everybody is getting disturbed, but this person seems to be least bothered about it. I think I should go and tell him. So with lot of control, because first of all he wanted to shout at that person, why don't you take care of your children? But somehow he controlled his anger. See, you have to understand the situation. He's trying to control his anger, and with lot of effort, he tells, excuse me sir, why don't you take care of your children? They're shouting and everybody's getting disturbed. And then the man looks at the person, and as if coming back to reality, as if he was in some other world, he comes and he looks at the children and he observes that they are fighting. And then he apologizes, I'm sorry, their mother just now, my wife and their kid's mother, just now 1 hour back, she passed away in the hospital. And that's when it hits the person who was trying to control, the anger which he was controlling just vanishes. And now he is able to see the same situation with a totally different perception, wherein a man, he has just lost his wife and there are 2 kids who have lost their mother. And now when the perception is entirely changed, he doesn't have to make any effort to control anger, because now he sees the situation in a totally different light. And more often than not, it is not just about controlling anger. Once we learn to see situation in the right perspective, yes. once we learn to see an individual, why the person is behaving like this, why he may have some frustration, is because probably somewhere, either in his family or in his surrounding, there is something which is bothering him, and that's why he's spitting out the anger onto you. Once you learn to give the benefit of doubt to the other person, become more, the attitude should be accepting the way people are. Accepting means learn to accept the way they are. Then you can, to a great extent, control the anger naturally. It's the right way of controlling, rather than pushing and trying to hold it. Once you see things in a different light, automatically, that's Vishala Drishti, which Swami emphasizes, anger vanishes.
And see, and that can happen, you can see the situation in a broader perspective only if you don't get angry.
If you don't get angry, yeah. But you have to cultivate this habit.
You have to cultivate.
In fact,
there's
a mathematical formula for that. We all know P, that is pressure, is equal to force by area. Okay, now the problem why the pressure intensifies, because the area here is, we only focus on ourselves.
Yeah.
Okay, it's just a small point. Yeah. You increase the area, make it everybody, yeah, automatically pressure diffuses.
Yes.
So we have to remember this, P is equal to F by area. Force, yeah, will always be there, okay. Mm. But what is there in your hand is whether you want to A, that is area, you want to keep yourself as the area, or your family, or the society, or the world as the area, is up,
yes,
to you.
Yeah.
And the moment you increase the area, pressure is gone.
I think it's a beautiful point that he has brought out.
Mm.
I remember one of the times that really had a very transforming access to how to control my anger, how to deal with this anger, was exactly this. I remember I was speaking to one of my relatives, and I was going on, like, he was saying, why are you upset? So I went on complaining about so many people around me. My father is like this, and then my colleague is like this, and so on and so on and so on. You know, the whole 10 or 15 minutes he let me rant. And the end, he just made one sentence. He said, Hari, this is still about yourself. You're still making it all about yourself.
Mm.
You know, the moment he said that, then I realized that the amount of drama that I have created around me.
Yes.
You know, that because the whole time I'm just looking at myself. It's,
yes,
as if the universe owes me so many things. You know, that,
exactly. Yeah.
Yes.
Why me?
That and
question.
It's like I am walking around with a manual that says that people around me should behave in exactly the way that is mentioned in that manual. The only problem is I have never shared that manual with anybody. The moment you understand that, that is, you know, one of the ways you can really start thinking about why do you need to get affected by what people around you do.
Yes. In fact, I think to put it in another way,
yeah,
basically, if you can put ourselves in the other person's shoes at that,
yes,
point in time,
yes,
if you can do that, in the example that I gave, if I can think that, you know, why is it my mother never asked me to do this?
Right.
I mean, all these days she never asked me to do it. Why is it that she's asking me to do today? So probably only then I will probably able to think, okay, perhaps the maid has not come, or perhaps there is something in the house today. Maybe there are guests coming, and maybe there is something else.
Something.
Maybe she has to go somewhere. So only when, you know, as you very rightly mentioned, you know, you try to enlarge the area and think about the other person.
Other person.
Yeah.
That's why they say if you want to be very good in communication, first learn to listen.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
we know what has happened is, when we talk about others, we become judges. Yes. When we talk about ourselves, we become the best lawyers, you know, because we are always defending ourselves. Yes. So we have to change that attitude.
A very beautiful thing came to my mind. Mm. They say that you should speak in such a manner that the other persons love to listen.
Yeah.
And you should listen in such a manner the other person love to speak to you.
Beautiful.
Because this is also one of the things, you know, when I have trained myself to actually do this, like,
mm-hmm.
in sometimes you get into a situation where you find yourself arguing or debating with someone else. Could be anywhere, right? And at that time, I just keep looking at, am I listening to the other person?
Correct.
You know, that can I, in my mind, can I recreate exactly word to word the sentence that he said?
Most of the time, we are thinking what we'll speak next.
Exactly. And, you know, the same way, supposing, this is one of the things I've trained myself to do. Like, the earlier, I used to get very upset, say, you know, working on the computer or something like that, or watching the TV and the light, the current goes off. See, that is a time when we suddenly say, what is this going on? I hate this situation and stuff like that. At that moment, I have literally trained myself to repeat the situation as it has happened. And at that time, you know, shorn away from all the, you know, ornaments, the adornments that are there, it is just all you'll say is the light, the current has gone off and the TV has shut down.
That's it.
It took the drama completely out of the whole story. So that is a moment, you know, when, as you say, can you recreate the situation, or can you recreate the conversation exactly the way it happened?
Absolutely.
If you can train yourself to do that, you know, that is one of the accesses you have to control.
And to me, the biggest motivation for controlling anger and, you know, trying out this experiment, that every time you face a situation, how you can manage the situation without losing your temper is the benefit that you get.
Brilliant.
The benefit that you get Brilliant. In terms of the outcome or the solution to the problem.
Fantastic,
right.
Yes.
Right.
See, that has today become a biggest motivation for me.
Yes.
Because every time when you have not got angry, you have achieved a solution which is so wholesome.
That's the right word, you know. Good. I tell you, this exact situation happened when I had, you know, there's a point that I felt very strongly about, and I argued with a particular person. Luckily, I had the presence of mind at that moment to say, I'm sorry that, you know, I spoke a little too loudly with you. Mm. That allowed me a few days later to revisit the entire situation with him and with a few others. And that time I realized that at the previous interaction that I had cut this person off. You know, at that moment, the way I said it, I totally cut him out of the situation, cut him out of my life, in, so to speak. But the next time when I recreated the conversation with him, at that time I noticed the kind of affinity, the kind of love that we were able to bring to the situation. It was so inclusive. Yeah. There's so much unity that was brought into the situation just because, you know, the absence of unnecessary unpleasantness and those things.
For this, another best method is to learn not to react immediately.
Mm. Mm.
Whatever may be the situation, we don't have to react immediately.
Correct.
That is where we go wrong.
Exactly.
Without any discrimination, we speak something,
yes.
Then later we repent.
Correct.
Of course, repenting is good, but still, if you had used your discrimination properly, that whole incident would not have happened. So, this is most importantly we have to practice. For this, we have to train our own mind.
Yes.
Like as you said earlier, we have to keep telling to our own mind.
Yes.
No, don't do this.
Don't do
this. Okay, yesterday I have done. It is
like Swami used to say, I'm not animal, I'm man.
I'm man.
I'm not animal, I'm man.
In fact, Swami gives also one more advice. If like somebody comes and shouts at you, then you have to ask yourself
whether
I'm body or atma.
Yeah.
If you have shouted at body, anyway, it's temporary. Five elements, it will go and merge. So you don't have to get worried about it. And if you have shouted at atma, atma anyway doesn't get affected. So
this is actually from the story of that Shankaracharya.
At this point, again, when we are angry or when we are get a lot of pain, we have to think for a while, and we should think whether we are under the influence of our mind or atma. Atma,
right.
Of course, as you told, it's unaffected.
It's beyond.
So it clearly indicates that we are still under the influence of my mind. So keep telling to our own mind. So you are not up to the standard.
Yes.
Come on, do better. So this continuous practice of this kind will train our mind. So we have to tune our own thought processes.
Yes.
Then our discriminating power will increase. The intellect. Mm. They say intellect is as 90% as effulgence as atma.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know. We don't give any chance for the intellect to motivate our mind.
Mm-hmm.
That is why we just carry over our whims and fancies of mind and we land in trouble.
Right.
So just
we have got the body of human beings, but the still reptilian instincts are still there.
Instincts. We are carried away by our instincts.
In fact, the one word that you mentioned is we should not react. And actually that reminds me of the distinction that sometimes is made between reacting and responding.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think that's that is something to ponder. You know, every time a situation comes to us, we have to decide whether I want to react or whether I want to respond. Respond means I can take time and, you know, I can think about the right situation and at the right time and how do I do it. React is to, you know, instinctively react. So I think that is what we should probably do every time we face a situation which is unpleasant or something which we feel like taking action immediately. That is when we have to tell ourselves, it's fine, it's fine. You know, for example, you know, this is again which I've experienced in my life, you know, you receive an email, okay, and which you read and you're disgusted with that person, you know, with what he has written in the mail. You don't deserve this. And at that point in time, you know, you are so angry actually, and you actually hit the reply button, and you almost are in that moment that, you know, I want to give it back. This is not done. He can't do this to me. But if only you can stop at that moment.
True.
Don't react.
What will motivate you to stop, Bishop?
Yeah.
That moment?
Yeah. What will motivate me now to stop is that I can achieve a better solution by not immediately reacting.
Anything done in angry is not good.
Anything, yeah. Because when you're angry, you don't take your decisions, you don't think right.
Your buddhi is shrouded.
Yeah,
yeah.
So because, you know, you have done that before. What will happen is, you know, he sends, first of all, at that moment, you are so enraged, you don't even spare a moment to think, why that person has written like this? You know, what is it that has gone on in his mind for him to behave so crazily?
True, true.
So you don't have, you know, at that point in time, you are so much annoyed by what you see that you have no patience to think like that. So for that, you have to go home and, you know, you have to lie down and you will have to do some chanting to just to cool yourself down and think about the situation in its entirety.
Right.
And respond in a manner so that, you know, it doesn't become an ugly war of words and, you know, and tomorrow you cannot face that person. If it is a person with whom you are going to work every day, it becomes even a difficult situation, you know, and a molehill becomes a mountain.
And many times you will find that, later you will find that, there is some communication gap.
Communication gap.
That's what it is.
Exactly. It would have been just something which he misunderstood.
And the problem again is, you'll be so embarrassed. Mm. Now, the ego will be so much in both the person, that they don't want to come and say sorry.
Yeah.
See, it's a continuous, like once you take the step, you know, angry, you reacted, now you realize it was your mistake, that person also knows it's his mistake. Now the ego comes, why should I go first?
No, that's why I think Gmail provides for an undo button. You know, even if you send the mail, you got about five seconds time, and you can undo it.
Oh, only 5 seconds. I didn't know about this.
Five seconds. So if you can hold back for 5 seconds.
No, sometimes when the anger is spent, that's when you got some time to reflect. So they give you 5 seconds.
Okay. At this point, I remember one small dream which I had many years back.
Mm-hmm.
I was also, it's something. Even anger is also a sort of negative thoughts only. It is something connected with negative thoughts. Yes. Even I was very angry and filled with lot of negative thoughts. Around 15 years back, one small dream in which I was asking Swami that, Swami, you have made me to learn many things through your discourse and by you have exposed me to your life. Mm-hmm. And I have learned so much by reading all these things. Still, many times I get negative thoughts. Mm. I'm very sad about my own state of being.
Mm.
So what should I do, Swami? This was very genuine, sincere question with Swami.
Mm.
Then Swami's reply was very, as usual, it was very nice, and I quote, he told, it is quite common for the mind to get negative thoughts, but don't put into action.
No.
Once you put into action,
it
is consequences evident.
Yes.
And one more step he went ahead and he told, from today onwards, whenever you get anger or negative thoughts, just remember my feet and drop it there.
Mm.
Unquote.
Wow.
See, this actually became really a practical help for me. Even today I do the same thing.
Mm.
But in due course of time it has come down a lot. I can make out. Earlier, maybe 2 years later, I used to think, 2 years back I should not have spoken to that guy like this, like that. And after some time, last year I should not have. Now, the moment I speak something, very next moment only, I am able to make out that was wrong. So that we can
make amends.
Correct. So this is where I was really helped by that dream. So Swami's that feet became a big Dropbox for me. And I don't know how much GB or TV I have been
That's amazing.
Dropping.
I think that is something phenomenal. Every time you get something which you are not able to, your mind is pulling you into something, I think at that point in time you should be drawn to Swami's and Swami's feet and hold on to Swami's feet and go to that safe harbor and attach yourself so that you are not swayed and you are not tormented by the other forces.
And mind is so interesting that it always wants to think about others. It doesn't want to think about itself.
Hari brother, this is one question. On behalf of all the teenagers and youngsters, what if somebody is irritating me? Deliberately, he's behind me. How do I deal with him?
The same thing, sir. Saying like the training that you can give yourself is simply this. At any such situation, can you just keep just repeating within your mind what that person is saying? It's just that. Can you allow that his communication to land with you in the first place? Without even reacting.
What if that person is deliberately trying to hurt me? In a sense, what happens in the world today is the person who wants to, they say patience is a very great power, it's a great strength.
Yes. Yeah.
Unfortunately, most of the people misunderstand patience, people who are silent, to be weak.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't want to say that I'm a weak person, definitely. But the thing is, it should not send a wrong signal that just because there's a very popular saying that everybody, the problem in the society, why so much of the problem is there, is because good people are very passive.
Yeah.
Okay, they're not
the
active.
Silence of the majority.
And that gives confidence for the people who are doing bad to do more bad. Because people are passive.
So what happens is, now you want to respond to the situation.
Exactly.
And you want to be able to respond to the situation in the best possible, in the most effective manner possible.
Yes.
Okay, so one must understand that giving way to anger literally stops those, parts of the brain which would think in a rational manner. So the advice is, the training that you can give yourself is to just allow that person, just listen to that particular person. What is he saying? Where is he coming from? You know, most of the time that will allow the anger of the opposite person to dissipate. Okay. And it's like, you are an empty receptacle and he is able to completely fill whatever he wants to, spill out.
Right.
Yeah. Whatever he wants to give, you have collected in that receptacle. Now he is empty. He is empty. And that is the time when you can get across whatever you want to say to that particular person. Works in any particular situation. As you said, listening is a great art. And this is something, if you can train yourself merely to be able to do this, just listen to the other person. Just listen. Empty yourself and allow that person to, fill that cup, whatever is there. He is empty now.
In fact, there is a famous example of Buddha, right?
Yeah.
Where a person comes and, he pours venom on Buddha. Venom in terms of his caustic remarks. And his Buddha is completely unaffected by it and that person is absolutely shocked. I mean, I am saying so many things which will actually tear someone apart. And how is it that you are not at all affected by it? And then Buddha says that, suppose you give me an object and if I don't hold it, if I don't take it, what will happen? It will either fall down or it will remain with you. So that is what is happening. I mean,
if you don't accept the gift,
it goes back. And in this situation, as Hari said also, if you are just listening, that person A, he has become empty. And the other thing that you can do, which will also disarm that person, which I think is also a good strategy, and in an interesting way, is just smile.
Okay.
Just smile,
Yeah.
I think in many occasions, using our sense of humor, trying to make that situation into something humorous, is a very effective strategy. Somebody might comment on your appearance. Somebody might comment on your dress. Somebody might comment on your grades. Anything. If you can at that point in time, instead of getting angry, I mean, 9 out of 10 people will get angry. But if you can take the opportunity just to make it a laughing matter, you know.
Yeah. If you can diffuse it
with a smile, if you can diffuse it with saying, oh, amazing, you have got a great sense of humor, man. Yeah. You know, you just laugh it away, then it totally disarms that person.
Because he is no longer going to get any juice out of you.
Yeah.
You know?
if he irritates you and if you get irritated, then he is going to irritate you more because he loves the fun of it.
He loves the fun.
Exactly.
But if you don't react and if you are actually just diffusing it like this,
then he'll be making a fool of himself.
Yeah.
He'll realize it very
Most
soon.
Of the times, if somebody doesn't obey or somebody doesn't hear, we normally get irritated and we get angry. That time, we have to remember, Swami, what I feel is, how many times we have not irritated him by not following him? How many times we have followed him? This we have to question to ourselves. Then we will understand. Swami has not shown any anger with us.
And that too, Swami is omniscient. He knows every moment, every mistake.
Had he shown little percentage of anger on us, where we would have been there. So at least in response to that, we should build some of his qualities.
Absolutely. And the other thought that comes to mind... this is not strictly related to anger, but I would say whatever we face in life, I think if we believe that this is what we have created for ourselves, whatever we face in life is not something where we have received something which we don't deserve. You know, we get angry because you're like, I don't deserve this. I mean, how can he say this to me? How can I be treated like this? We feel we don't deserve that. But I think if we have a perspective that, you know, if this is coming to me, then this is
to
what...
test my patience.
This is what has to come to me for my growth. I think that is one perspective where, you know, you accept that thing. You know, if somebody is today hating you, if somebody is maligning you, don't, instead of thinking that, you know, this is not something that should be happening to me.
Beautiful.
Just think that, fine, you know, this is all coming back to me. This is all coming back to me because of whatever reason. And we are not all faultless and infallible persons. We have all... And I'm telling this because I have seen this in my life, actually. When something comes back to me, I mean, I think about it, then I feel like, yeah, something in the past, I have done the same thing in the past.
Yeah.
I have done something like that in the past when another person had the same pain that I'm going through now. Sometimes you can relate. Many times you may not be able to relate.
Yeah.
I mean, you may not be able to relate in... Probably you'll be able to find this in one in a thousand things. But I would like to believe that whatever is coming is what we have created.
Created of ourselves.
Yeah, it's what we have created. And so that's why, you know, you take it with that spirit.
Positive attitude.
You take it with a positive spirit, then you will not aggravate the problem.
And also this understanding, if we have that everything that happens is His will.
Hmm.
If it is His will, it has to be for the highest interest of everybody.
Yes.
Okay, and one more thing which Swami has also emphasized, has told that when difficult time comes, many people complain, God, why is the time so difficult? They should take it as an examination. And Swami says, examination is conducted only for those people who are fit for promotion.
Correct.
Okay. If there is no examination, means you should be all the more scared because maybe you're not fit for promotion. That's why God is not giving examination. You should, in fact, go and embrace the tests because at some level, you're going to get promoted in spirituality or in life, in the understanding where God has put an examination so that you are fit for promotion. So you should embrace the difficulties and probably embrace such difficult moments where people or situation may be irritating us or we may be finding difficulty in handling a situation. So, and one more thing is, the difficulty lies in resistance or resisting the idea of acceptance that whatever is happening is His will. Means where the Swami says, Nopi undi kani suffering ledu. Means the pain is there, but suffering is not there. The suffering comes, suffering is in the mind. The suffering comes because of non-acceptance.
Correct.
So once we learn at a mental, at a psychological level, deep inside, we accept, okay, this is happening with me, and there has to be a higher cause for this. The moment we accept it from the bottommost part of our heart, the suffering ceases. I mean, this is one insight is coming as we are even speaking.
No, actually, if you go back to what
Vishu
was saying, and he was talking about, he said, I can interpret, like what that person has said, I can interpret it in a host of ways. And even when a person is shouting at me, and that is many of the situations where we get angry is that, you know, when somebody is displaying anger towards us and then we react to that anger. And as he said, there are a host of ways of interpreting that particular situation. One is the interpretation that he chose, that this is exactly what is needed for me right now.
Hmm.
Or the interpretation you said, that this is his will and it has to happen at this moment. You know, and this only shows that really, right, that situation at that moment, there is really nothing over there as such, other than what you can create.
Right.
Yes. What exists at that moment is only the interpretation that you give to that particular
situation.
Yeah. Correct. Because the only person who says that this person is upsetting me, the only person that says that this person is shouting at me is you.
Right.
Like if you can take, you know, you said responsibility for that particular situation, that gives you like a gamut of choices. You can respond to it any which way you wish.
In fact, yes. I'm reminded of a very beautiful story.
Yeah.
One man was fishing. He was sitting on the boat and he was fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one more boat which comes and hits that boat in which. So because, I mean, he was sitting for hours together, and finally when one fish came, that's when that boat came and hit him from behind. So he was so angry and looked behind to shout at the person who was in the other boat, and he finds that the boat was empty.
Hmm.
So now in a second, all the anger vanished because there's nobody to pour at.
Scream it, yeah.
It's like this. Whenever we are, you know, it's like make yourself empty. Thing is,
yeah.
Anger, karma, everything needs a target. If you make yourself empty, as you said, that the situation or the person, what is the reason of that anger is because you yourself. Make yourself empty, the anger ceases to exist.
Exactly.
There's no target. Just like that empty boat.
There's one exercise, Bishu, that I went through once, you know, like mm-hmm. that I'd like to share over here.
Sure.
A very weird kind of exercise when you look at it on the surface. We were given a poem, right, like four stanzas, and the poem was a very absurd looking poem, which is talking about some walk in the woods, etc. What we were told is you take a stanza, say four lines of this poem, and you do this exercise with a partner. And what you do is you take this poem, and you read it out as if you are upset. You know, the words themselves are not words that create upset in any way. It's just talking about a walk in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to the other person, you literally shout those words. You know, generate as much anger as you can, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And do it about four or five times. And then you have the opposite person then does the exercise. You know, mm-hmm. you have to evaluate, like, you have to keep telling that person, no, get angrier. You know, the same words. The words are very absurd.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what happened with that, I remember that the first time that I did this exercise, that is when I really felt, I will never really lose my temper ever after this, you know, lose it ever. Because at that moment I realized what I am training my brain is to watch the complete process of the generation of this anger.
Hmm.
The complete process as it happens within me and within the other person, and that allows you to get so much control over the whole process. You can, if you don't have a partner, all you can do is look at a mirror and do the same exercise. Take any poem, Rudyard Kipling's if you like, you know, just take a stanza and do this. There is no other way for me to explain it other than to actually invite you to try this exercise.
So basically you're saying you go through the process of getting angry.
Yeah, generate it yourself.
Hmm.
But if you're conscious, how will you get angry?
That's what the whole point is. It's like an actor, you know, as you said, empty. Why this came to my mind is when you said empty yourself. An actor who goes on to stage and he has to enact somebody who's upset is not upset himself.
Right, actually. Yeah.
He's generating the whole thing from, yeah. You know, from just about nothing. He has to generate the whole emotion of anger. And what that does to you is like, you know, I have noticed the moment I can feel the, you know, lava surfacing from inside, I have a way of, you know, literally I can watch it happen. I can say, okay, wait, this is the time you got to take over. You, whoever you are, you know, it's time you took over.
Hmm.
I can feel that process happening. Now there's very, I cannot give you the explanation of how it works, but you know, it's a great exercise.
One of the years I had to shout at Duryodhana, because I was giving voice for Bhishma.
Right. Okay.
And Duryodhana is saying, let Krishna come and then we'll capture him. And then, so I still remember that dialogue, that was the person who has written, Ranganath Raju brother, he had written the dialogue.
Mm.
A very powerful punchy, but it has to deliver in that same, you know, that anger.
Yeah.
So I remember 7-8 times I gave, okay? I was tired, it was not coming. So finally they told, just imagine somebody who makes you angry, okay?
Yes.
So I had a hard time imagining, but after some 5-10 minutes, I don't remember right now whom I thought of. I shouted, bridle your tongue to the channels of hateful throat, you foolish brat!
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that. I don't remember the exact. So it was like, it came out so, as you said, no, to generate anger.
Yeah.
It is possible. But thing is, I'm still trying to understand what this process...
Exactly. So the magic is in actually doing it. You know, when you do it, what I have seen with myself is, you become conscious of the entire process, like a stepwise thing, you know, what happens. So at about the time when it is surfacing, as I said, it is something that surfaces, I mean, that is generated deep within the brain.
Right.
You have little control over that process.
Right.
But at the time when the effects of the anger are sort of becoming visible to you,
right,
you get that ability to now take control of that process.
Okay.
You can't, as I said, there's no time when a person can not get angry. It can happen anytime. It's an atavistic primitive response.
Right.
But what you get a chance at is like, can I get control over the whole process?
I think what happens is you are much more familiar with that whole process.
Yeah, it's exactly. Right. Yeah. So you know what is happening.
You're more equipped to manage it.
Manage it.
Yes.
So the moment the alarm sets in,
you'll recognize it faster.
Immediately. And
beautiful,
we can take,
yes.
We can take steps exactly like Swami was saying, look at the mirror, drink cold water, lie down, go for a walk. Mm. All this we can do.
Mind is so tricky. Bhagavan says, it's like pendulum swinging from one pleasure to another. So only way to stop that pendulum is not to wind it.
Yes.
So we should not act upon our whims and fancies of our mind. Mm. So we have to have a check over our own thought processes.
Yes.
That will gradually, of course, it's
absolutely
not 1 or 2 days affair. It's a lifelong.
Absolutely. But the other thing also Bhagwan mentioned to another senior devotee is this witness meditation.
Yeah.
Witness meditation is where, you know, you distance yourself from the thoughts. Where, you know, suppose a thought comes, you know, urging you to do something. Which is on the lines of anger or hatred or whatever, lust. Then, if you can at that point in time say that, okay, who is getting this
fantastic
thought? Who is it that is getting this thought? Then, and if you just calm yourself for those split seconds, that okay, let me try to see, okay, where is that thought going?
Yeah.
Okay, you distance yourself from that thought.
I remember, you know, there is a devotee of Ravana Maharishi.
Yeah.
Annamalai Swami, I think, was his name. So he was in charge of the construction projects that used to happen in the ashram. And of course, he was a sadhaka himself. And he relates this episode where he once lost his temper with the construction workers and he gave them a piece of his mind. What happened after that was he was not very, you know, pleased with himself, that he felt I had lost control of the entire situation and this is not what my master teaches me. And he repented a lot for it. And as part of the repentance, he decided that he would confess to Ramana Maharishi ji that this is what happened and seek his pardon. And so next morning, he relates the entire episode to Ramana Maharishi and seeks his pardon. You will not believe the response that he got.
Mm-hmm.
Ramana Maharishi actually derides him.
Mm-hmm.
He has sought his pardon, but instead of giving the pardon, he really scolds him. He said, that incident happened yesterday, why are you still carrying it with you?
Yeah.
Yeah, and because, as you were saying, see, Ramana Maharishi, the inquiry that he used to lead his disciples in, is to lose the identification with the personality.
Body and mind consciousness.
Yeah, and the more, because the anger, the tendency towards anger is something that is a property of that personality.
Mm.
And the more and more you even repenting for that, you can of course take responsibility for it, say sorry to the people involved, but the more and more you carry it in that mind, you keep reinforcing that I am that personality which has this anger.
Brooding over thoughts.
Brooding over it, yeah.
Again,
and as you said, distancing yourself from that and remaining as being established in the self that you truly are. That was the exercise. And Ramana Maharishi ji could clearly see, you know, that this was inimical to the progress of his devotee. Mm-hmm. That's a very strange, weird response.
I think that is how we totally disarm the mind, actually.
Mm.
You know, when you distance yourself from those thoughts, then, you know, the mind loses its power. And
you run its power down.
Yeah.
It loses its identity.
In fact, you should, on the other hand, you should start using it as a tool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like this, there's one very popular story of Durvasa Rishi.
Hmm.
And during the Agyatvas, Kauravas were hunting for the Pandavas and literally now the entire forest area, they surrounded it. They knew, because for sure Pandavas were inside the forest. So they were just like in a concentric circle, they were coming in. So Pandavas had nowhere to go. So suddenly they see Durvasa Rishi and you're sitting and meditating, and then Yudhishthira says, please Prabhu save us. If they see us, again 12 years extension of this Vanavasam. So Durvasa says, okay, you dig the pit, dig a pit and I'll cover it with something, and all of you go inside the pit, I'll be sitting over you. So Bhimasena, you know, very powerful, so he immediately digs a huge pit and all the five Pandavas go inside. And they cover with a lid or something, then Durvasa Rishi is sitting. And those days, the Rishis, nowadays if we say, it may be like a funny thing, but those days speaking untruth was unheard of. Mm-hmm. Okay, so great Rishis especially, they will never utter untruth.
Yes.
So the person who arrives there was Ashwatthama. He looks at Durvasa and he sees, he notices the lid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he gets a doubt. Maybe Pandavas are there and under Durvasa Rishi. And he also knew that Durvasa Rishi will never say untruth. Okay. Mm. So now here is where the anger was used as a tool. Mm. So Ashwatthama goes near Durvasa and says, Munivar, where have you seen the Pandavas? And Durvasa says, yes, they are under me. He says, okay. Now, the way he says no, because in next moment he may get a curse also. He runs away. Okay. He runs away. He thinks that, okay, he disturbed him. So that's why he got irritated and he left. Mm. So in this act, he used anger as a tool. He spoke the truth.
Yes.
And yet saved the Pandavas. See how beautiful. You know, so everything in nature has its own role to play. Okay. If we are able to channelize it and use it in the proper, then only we can, you know, claim ourselves to be so-called human beings, you know.
Yeah. Swami used to say, no, master the mind and become a master.
Become a master mind. Yeah. Nothing is bad in this universe. Nothing is bad.
Absolutely.
Only thing if it is used in a regular,
regulated
way, and way in it is managed, yes. Then it becomes a...
In fact, there was this... go on.
No, sometimes you have to pretend to be angry.
Yeah.
Swami says, no, you have to hiss, but yes. Should not bite.
Don't bite.
Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah. In fact, there was this student, youngster, who asked Bhagwan, Swami, you're telling that, you know, we should not have desires, we should not have this, we should not have that. But it is you who has given us all this. I mean, why did you give us all these things? And why are you asking us to control and all that? You know, this was, he was in his colleges and, you know, the kind of thoughts that generally happens. And then Swami said, see, yes, everything is given. It is like a tumbler, you know, where you have water. So, everything is given because everything is essential. It is essential for your happiness, it is essential for your survival, essential for your happiness. But it should not overflow. If anything becomes more, then only there is danger.
Imbalance.
Anything excess is
bad. So a bit of desire it is essential, a bit of anger is essential. Everything that is there is given to you, a bit of tamas, bit of rajas, bit of sattva, everything. Everybody is a combination of sattva, raja and tamas. If you are completely sattvic also, you will not be able to do many things. And if you are completely tamas, you will not be able to achieve anything.
There has to be right balance. Proportion.
So for the right balance, everything is needed. So, it's a question of maintaining this balance.
So, then you're saying that anger is not bad. It is something which we can use as a tool. Because anything you... See, they say, if you resist something, it will persist.
Yeah.
Okay. So, the perception or the outlook should be, I have got anger issues. Okay. Now, let me start using it as a tool. Not become angry. Thing is, there's a lot of difference between becoming angry and using anger as a tool.
Absolutely.
Okay, the first
generating
step is...
Generating that anger.
Because if you become one with anger, you're gone.
Hmm.
Okay, that's what Dr. Prashant was saying. The thought comes, don't put it into action. Don't become that thought. Okay, you should be separate. You should that's right, the practice of, as you say, what did you say? Observing.
Witness. Yeah, witness.
That is an ongoing and continuous exercise,
Absolutely.
Isn't it?
Absolutely. Wonderful. I think we are running out of time. It's already 9:48 and it's time to bring the session to a close. And I know perhaps we have done some justice to the questions that you received.
We hope the listeners don't get angry with us.
Yeah, do listeners please do write and tell us. How
angry emails.
Whether you're angry or are you hungry for more of this.
Yeah.
So thank you so much, brothers Harishankar, Dr. Prashant and Brother K.M. Ganesh. Brother Raj Bhushan was there with us in the previous episodes, and today we miss him. But I think we have done to whatever extent we can. You have shared with us your learnings of doing these workshops there in Uttar Kannada district, and I'm so happy that, you know, we have documented this, because I think this is something that all of us, it will serve for each one of us to listen again, because this is something, it's a lifetime, it needs a lifetime to get over all these things.
Just one small thing I wanted to, it struck me suddenly when I told that anger, because I didn't want to leave with that. See, one thing is, this is one tool which we should try to use as less as possible.
Yeah,
we should be very loving persons in our demeanor. I said anger has to be used. That is the worst possible scenario.
Absolutely.
But in general, we should be loving and caring. That's what Swami expects.
I think everything, just like desire has to be sublimated.
Sublimated.
Desire for God.
Yeah.
So similarly, I think every one of these, we have those qualities in us, but they have to be, you get angry with yourself for not doing something nice.
Right. Right.
You know, everything has to be sublimated.
It should be constructive.
Yeah, everything has to be sublimated.
So probably if I have made some promises to Bhagwan in the morning,
yes,
dear Father, this is what I'm going to, you know, follow. And suppose at the end of the day when we do introspection and we find that there are 2-3 situations where we were not careful and we slipped, and then you obviously get angry.
Yeah.
Now that anger should be used to intensify your sadhana the next day.
Absolutely.
So it is, that's how it is.
That's how it is. Yeah, I mean, everything, I think...
towards God.
It has to be properly channelized.
Absolutely. It has to be channelized. And I think that is where, ultimately, everything has to merge in him.
Yeah.
All that is good, bad, and not so good, and not so pleasant. In fact, I was just reading, you know, when we started this session, I was sharing the discourse that Bhagwan gave to everyone on the day of the inauguration of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. And in that, towards the end of the discourse, Bhagaswami says, the chief characteristic of Sathya Sai, let me tell you, is forbearance, sahana.
Mm.
Swami says, you know, to be able to be, to be equanimous and in any situation, and come what may, to be able to have that Himalayan patience and fortitude. And I think that is something Swami is telling, that is his chief characteristic.
In fact, recently one of the professors you are sharing with us, once Swami was walking, he just looked at Swami and something had happened, and he told Swami, how is it that you are having so much of patience?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, please, I also want to be blessed with that patience. And Swami just looked at him, smiled and said, I have not developed patience. Patience is my very nature. It's my swabhavam.
Okay. Wow.
It is... That's what Bhagwan is.
Wow.
But again, to such a Bhagwan only we can pray for all these great qualities.
Yes.
And he's ever ready to shower on us. You know, he's
Absolutely.
Always waiting.
Absolutely. In fact, in that discourse, Swami says, you know, there are many who are engaged in criticism and calumny. Many people publish many wrong things about me and all that. And Swami says, embodiments of love, not these only, but even if the entire world opposes unitedly, nothing can affect me.
Wow.
That is his forbearance. That is his sahana. He says, my mission is essentially mine. I am engaged in the good. My heart is ever full of benediction. I have no ego. I do not own anything. And this is my truth. Those who have faith in this, in my truth, will not hesitate to dedicate themselves to it. Those who have faults and defects react with anger and fear. But the lion with no fault and no defect will not react in the same manner. I am aware of this, and so I am always in ananda, ananda and ananda, Swami says.
Beautiful.
It is such a fantastic message that Bhagwan gave. And you know, it is a time when he unfurls the university for this mission of Sai education. And I felt this is something which, you know, which is for all of us.
All of us,
students. All of us students in this path, everybody is a student on this
brother,
path.
Even as you are reading this, what Swami had written, one thing which naturally struck me was, the more we are in tune with Bhagwan, the more we read his literature, it is very difficult to get angry. Because if you are soaked in devotion, if you are soaked with his love, no, that's the positive way of, you know, controlling. Rather than trying to hold the anger back, you immerse yourself in devotion to God, immerse yourself into Bhagwan, read his, Swami has written.
Yes.
And unlike Rama and Krishna, we are so lucky that is an avatar who's written 16 Vahinis, okay, so much of lit, and 42 volumes of Sathya Sai. So enough sweet is out there, you know, there's no reason why we should be saying that we don't have any material.
Yeah, absolutely. No, In fact, the best way to detach ourselves from that all that is unpleasant is to attach yourself
attach
to God.
Attach to God.
That is the only thing that we can do. You don't have to worry about how to let go of desire, how to let go of ego, how to let go of anger. All you do is you develop more love for God and everything else will happen automatically.
Tune into God, everything else falls in.
Happen automatically. And I think that is where, and in that discourse, Swami says that, you know, all everybody wishes me happy birthday, but I am always happy. And I think that is, that is what we have to cultivate always.
True.
I think, you know, be in that ananda of being connected with Him.
Absolutely.
I think, and then, then we don't have to worry about anger management.
No.
We'll only be happy and live in this ananda. So thank you so much, brothers and dear listeners. Thank you so much for following this discussion over all these weeks. And as always, we really welcome your feedback to this discussion and to every program that you hear on Radio Sai. And so feel free to write to listener@radiosai.org. The time in the studio now is 9:54, so we have already crossed the time. In a short while from now, you will, in fact, as I sign off, you will listen to a drama presented by the Sai Youth from West Bengal on 5th December 2009. So enjoy, continue to listen, and as the birthday approaches, let us remember to live in His ananda. Let us not think about anger, let us not think about desire, let us not think about ego. Let's let go everything and just let us be in Him. Think only of Him and everything else will fall in place automatically. Thank you so much and keep listening. And finally, a loving Sai Ram from all of us at Radio Sai and a sweet goodbye. Sai Ram.